You're listening to Playing the Numbers Podcast, bringing you baseball numbers you don't know but need to know, and deep dives on teams and players around the league. Now, presenting your co-hosts, Avery Redd and Shane Mohan.
We love MLB The Show over here. If you're sick of grinding all the missions, the player of the month, the top now, the moments, the conquest maps, the showdowns, go over to Instagram, DM MLBTheShow.info to grind on your account for a very cheap price. He grinds fast and he'll do it for cheap. I've used his service in the past. I can guarantee you it is 100% legit. He is for real. Don't forget to use our code NUMBERS when checking out with him in the DMs for 10% off your order of any price. That's MLBTheShow.info on Instagram. Link to his page will be in the description. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. What's going on, everybody? This week in baseball, Corey Kluber and Spencer Turnbull throw two of the six no-hitters to date. Tony La Russa looks like he's turning his back on Yermin Mercedes, and the Giants keep rolling. I'm Shane Mohan, joined with my co-host Avery Redd. As always, let's get into the numbers.
What's up, guys? It's Avery Redd. We are back. Another episode, Playing the Numbers. We got a new, this is dropping on Friday. We're going to be doing this for now on Mondays and Fridays. We're going to be recapping all the series that happened, pretty much doing the same thing we do in the weekly recap, but we're just going to be doing it on Mondays and Fridays so we can talk about the respective series and just focus on what happened in each series instead of trying to cover two series in one episode. So we're going to be doing that. So check out episodes on Mondays and Fridays now. And let's get into the series recap. Jump it off right away. I'm going to do the National League. Shane's going to do the American League.
Nunez walked in his last two trips. High fly ball, center field deep, and the track, and the wall! It's gone!
Runner is going to run around. He's going to be sent around. Can he come all the way? Oh, yeah! Jake Pettenworth!
Ground ball to Gleyber Torres, and that'll do it! A no-hitter for Corey Kluber!
You want me to start it off with the National League?
Get into it.
All right, so we had the Giants at Reds. San Fran takes all four of this four-game set. They stay red hot. They improve to 28-16 on the season. Keep that NL West lead intact. The Giants pitching has been lights out, and it's been carrying them so far. It does again this series. Logan Webb, Discofani, Kevin Gausman, Johnny Cueto all throw great games. Brandon Crawford had two homers in the series. Mauricio Dubon had a homer and six hits. Reds offense was pretty quiet the whole series. Castellanos and Jesse Winker had good series. They both hit homers, both stayed hot. But Giants take this one 4-0. I love what I'm seeing from the Giants right now. We had a little
yesterday's game was pretty damn ugly from the Reds.
Oh, yeah, 19-4. Yeah, that was ugly. And then we got an in-division matchup here, Mets in Atlanta. Mets take it 2-1 with a very depleted team right now. Tuan Walker actually went down to injury in game one.
What was the injury?
I don't even know, to be honest. I'm not quite sure. I can look it up. Let's see if I can find anything on it. I do not see anything on it. He's going to the IL, though. 10-day IL.
I can't be that bad, though.
No, looks. But, I mean, when you already got DeGrom, Syndergaard, Carrasco on the IL, they're pretty banged up right now. But they do take two. Dinger in game three. He's kind of slowing down as of late, but maybe that'll get him back on track. Freddie Freeman hits a homer in the series. Jonathan Villar goes deep twice. And the Mets take this one 2-1. Still first place in the NL East. And the Braves fall to fourth. Rockies at Padres. Another in-division matchup here. San Diego sweeps 3-0. They were in control pretty much the whole series. They brought out the big guns. Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove all pitched incredible. Rockies only had 11 hits combined in all three games. And the Padres, Padres starters went for 20 innings and only gave up one run. So they look pretty good. Jake Cronenworth, who you heard in our sick new intro for our series recaps I just made. When you heard the Padres announcer go, "Oh yeah."
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Tatis went 4-for-4 with a dinger in his first game back from the IL. So that was pretty cool to see. And yeah, the Padres pretty much in control here. Sweep this one. Pirates at Cardinals, 2-game set. St. Louis sweeps this one, 2-0. Jack Flaherty, John Gant, who's actually having a really good year. He had a nice start, and then Flaherty had another nice start. He's really pitching well this year. Arenado kept hot, hit another homer this series. Tommy Edman was 5-for-8 with 5 RBIs this series. And nothing much to say about Pittsburgh. Gregory Polanco and Kevin Newman had a decent series, but St. Louis stayed in control. They stay atop the NL Central now at 25-18. Going to go over to the NL East again. Back to your Phils. The Fish
take
them out.
Not a good series, man. Not a good series.
How about you take this one? I'll step aside. You can talk about your Phils.
Well, yeah, Cody Petit come in. Second start in his major league career. Thought we were going to have an easy W. Ended up going 5 with 3 hits and no earned runs. Had a couple Ks in there. Wheeler didn't do bad at all. He went 7 as his usual. 5 hits, no walks, 10 Ks. Really like that number. I think a day when Zach Wheeler's on the mound should be a guaranteed W. Unfortunately, this time it was not. Miami took the series 2-1. Trevor Rogers really looked good, man. Continuously looking like a potential Cy Young contender. Eflin, not the best start. 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 6 Ks.
Eh. One note, let me interrupt real quick. I had on
Eflin. Sure, asshole.
Shut up. I had this on Eflin real quick. 57 strikeouts. 5 walks this year. That's incredible.
Yeah, he is really limiting free bases, and I like that. I like that. Oh, yeah. I just wish the offense could combat.
And then Kutch went deep for his 250th homer. That's quite
love to see it. I'd like to see him turn up a little bit more. I mean, he's 34 years old, so age is definitely becoming a factor. You never know what that injury from 2019 did to him and to this day, but finished up the series. Game 3, Alcantara threw a gem, almost went yard to dead left center. That was really pissing me off. David Hale got the start because Vince Velasquez had a numb index finger. Never heard of that shit, but it is what it is. David Hale went 3 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, and 1 walk, as well as 4 Ks. Garrett Cooper had a really nice series. Miguel Rojas, they both homered. Reese Hoskins didn't do too bad. Ronald Torres, though, stepped up off the bench, 4-for-5 in the series, 2 RBIs. Really liked what I saw from him. Was curious as to why they took him out in game 3. I mean, Brad Miller was hitting 300 going into that game. Didn't do too hot, but I liked what I saw from Torres. Really nice series from him.
Brady's boy.
Yeah. Yep. So, unfortunately, the Marlins do take the series 2-1, like I said. And hopefully we can bounce back against the Bo Sox this evening.
Yes, sir. All right.
Back over to you and your Nationals. Take it away.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Almost cut you off there. But, yep, getting into the Nats series. Rough one. We drop it 3-1 to the Cubbies. Cubs take game 1 and 2. We squeeze a nice win out in game 3, and game 4 just wasn't our day. We dropped that one. John Lester is a little shaky in game one for us. He didn't look horrible. Corbin.
I think he looked like shit, dude. 8 hits, 5 earned runs, only 4 yeah, Ks through 5.
Yeah, but.
Got to be shitting me thinking he didn't look good.
Well, sometimes it's different when you're actually watching the whole entire game rather than just looking at a stat line, because I feel like a stat line is kind of deceiving sometimes because, yeah, you can – like there's a start down here. I don't remember who it was, but I remember typing it in last night. Somebody threw like 7 innings but gave up 6 earned runs. So I was thinking that had to be like – he was cruising through 5 or 6 innings, and then in the 7th inning, he probably got rocked and got taken out. So do you call that a bad start? I mean, somebody gives you 6 shutout innings, and then they get rocked in their last inning. Like,
I think that's a good start.
Yeah, because technically, whose fault is that? Is it? I mean, obviously, it's the pitcher's, but maybe the manager should have brought him out.
Well, I mean, if you're throwing 6 shutout innings, you got to throw them out for the 7th.
Well, yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a tough situation. So that's why I think stat lines are deceiving sometimes. And obviously, I don't really watch – I watch other games, but not – I really just watch the Nats usually. So he wasn't horrible, but, yeah, he definitely didn't have his best stuff. And Corbin, he didn't have his best stuff, but he looked decent. Scherzer also didn't have his best stuff, still enough to get the win. But Joe Ross was really bad in game four, I should say. Ian Happ killed us. He had 3 homers in the series. David Bodie had a homer. Trey Turner hit a homer, had 3 RBIs, walked twice, stole a bag. And Soto's starting to get back on track. He went 6 for 17 with a double and a homer. But the offense as a whole continues to struggle. Bell and Schwarber are starting to heat up a bit. Schwarber hit 2 homers this series in his return to Wrigley. But the big thing for us, we really tagged their starters pretty well, but their bullpen threw 15 and a third innings shutout. We didn't score 1 run off their bullpen in this series. So our bats really got – we've had that problem. I mean, the last few weeks now, we've been – the bats have been pretty well in the first few innings, or we jump out to a lead and then – from there on, we don't have a hit. So I don't get it. Davey Martinez gets hot in this series, pulls the base out of the ground and kicked it across the field. I love to see that. But at the end of the day, we dropped 3 out of 4 to the Cubbies, series that I definitely thought we should have been able to split or even take the win. Didn't happen. We're playing the O's tonight. Hopefully we can get a win with Strass coming back. Moving on to the NL West for the last series in the NL, D-backs at Dodgers. Dodgers getting back on track here. Sweep this one 4-0. Their pitching was amazing. Bueller, Urias, Kershaw, David Price got the start. He was the opener. D-backs were just overmatched by a much better Dodgers team here. Pujols' first time with the Dodgers, he went 3 for 11 with a home run and 4 RBIs.
Little Oppo Taco action.
Yeah, Big Albert looking all right in L.A. Will Smith had a nice series. He hit 2 bombs. Eduardo Escobar had 2 homers on the D-back side, but Dodgers completely overpowered him, get back on track. This top of the NL West, it's looking interesting, man. We got the Dodgers, Padres, and Giants. The Giants are on a 5-game winning streak. The Padres are on a 6-game winning streak. And the Dodgers are on a 4-game winning streak, and they are 2 games separates those 3 teams. So that's going to be fun to watch over the next few weeks. But that's all I got for the NL. Great series.
AL West is looking really fun to watch, man.
Oh yeah, with the Astros and A's, great series that you're about to talk about. I'm done with the National League, so whenever you want to start with the American League recap, be my guest.
All right, so let's jump into this. Rays, Orioles. Rays get the sweep, not surprised. Luis Patino, not a bad start. Could have been a little better. Went 3 1/3 with 6 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. Matt Harvey getting a bit of action as of late. Like it this season, only went 1 2/3, looked really, really bad. I'd like to see him get back to his Mets days, though. I just think he's kind of out of his prime.
Yeah, seven, I always liked him.
Six earned runs. Yeah, he was always fun to watch.
It's weird how pitchers like that, they like start off so well and then just like him and like Tim Lincecum, another guy I think of that was just like kind of fell off. It's weird.
Yeah, it's unfortunate to see, but he's still hanging around. Hopefully he can bounce back. Game two, Tampa Bay wins 9-7. Ryan Yarbrough, six innings pitched, seven hits, three earned runs. Not too bad. John Means still dealing. Didn't have his best outing, but he still
Got like a 1.7 ERA.
Exactly, 1.7 ERA. There you have it. Gave up four earned runs. Still keeps it under two with four earned runs given up. Still had six Ks. Made it through six and a third. Game three, Tampa Bay annihilated the Orioles, winning 10-1. Rich Hill went six innings, two hits, one earned run. Real nice start from him. I think he's adjusting well in Tampa Bay. Standouts in the series, though. Randy Arozarena hit 500, 8-for-16 with three homers and eight RBIs. Dude is still tearing it up. Was not a fluke last season in the World Series and playoffs. Joey Wendell, 7-for-11. Nice local Westchester guy. Two homers, two RBIs. Mancini, back from cancer. 6-for-12 with three nukes like Arozarena.
I love to see that.
He has not skipped a beat. Seven ribbies. Galvis hits his 100th homer. Love to see that. Always been a big fan of him. Thought he was robbed of the gold glove back in Philly. But, you know, that's just a popularity contest. Nonetheless, Galvis hits his 100th home run. Love to see it. Jumping over to Astros and A's. Houston takes the series 2-1. In game one, Christian Javier threw six innings, five hits, three earned runs, nine Ks for him. Like to see that. He's doing well. Still couldn't get the job done. Manaea went six, two, 10 hits, three earned runs, and three Ks. Got the W there. Houston takes game two, 8-1. Greinke, eight innings, four hits, one earned run. Yeah, real nice good. To see there. Greinke still got it, man. He's reeling and dealing. Frankie Montas went five innings, seven hits, two earned runs. Not too bad. Jumping over to game three, Houston took the W 8-4, got the series win there. And Luis Garcia, not too bad. Five innings, three hits, two earned runs, as well as seven Ks. Cole Irvin did take the loss. Thought he was flashing. I mean, he was showing some skills there in the last couple weeks of the month.
Yeah, he still looks solid. I mean, he's had some really nice starts.
Yeah, not too bad from him. Five innings, eight hits, five earned runs. Could have been a little better. Standouts in the series, Alex Bregman, another 500 hitter in the series, 5-for-10, two ribbies and a double. Drew four walks, which is huge. Altuve knocks one out of the park, 6-for-15 in the series. And the A's offense looked kind of weak. Their standout hitter was Mark Canna, went 3-for-10 with a homer. Raymond Laureano did knock out two himself, 2-for-10 in the series. Jumping over to Red Sox Blue Jays playing down in Florida.
Dunedin.
What's that?
Dunedin. That's where I went.
Yeah, right.
That's where I went.
Boston took the series 2-1. They're looking like a good team, man. They're looking like a good team. It's going to be tough for the Phils.
I know. They're good. They're a solid team. And just imagine when they get Chris Sale back and when he's healthy.
Yeah, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with back to the 2018 days, possibly. Excuse me. Breaking down the series. Game one, Toronto takes the win 8-0 with a shutout. Eduardo Rodriguez, five innings, 11 hits, five earned runs. Hyunjin Ryu, seven innings, four hits, no earned runs. Looked real nice there in game one. Jumping over to game two, Boston took the W 7-3. Garrett Richards, not bad from him. Six and two-thirds with seven hits and two earned runs. Ross Stripling only made it to three and two-thirds, eight hits, six runs. Got lit up a little bit early. Boston takes game three, 8-7. Nick Pivetta, five innings, seven hits, four earned runs. as well as 8Ks. Looking really nice, which pisses me off, I got to say, because he was not showing those numbers down in Philly. But nonetheless, he gets the W. Steven Matz was the loser in that game. 6 innings, 10 hits, 5 earned runs. Standouts in the series. JD Martinez, 2 homers, 2 of his 3 hits in the series. So he's quieter than that, but nonetheless, 2 homers is excellent. Enrique Hernandez, Kike, 6 for 14 with a homer. Vlad, 6 for 14, 3 doubles. 2 RBIs, looking real nice still. Potential, I mean, could we see a potential MVP from him?
I just made an an awards update post on MLB Strike Zone, and as of now, I did have him number one on my MVP list.
Hey, so, it's possible, man. I'd love to see it.
I honestly think if I had to put money on it, if Shohei keeps this up, there's no way the writers don't vote for him. Which I'm fine with. I'm fine with. I love Shohei, but it's going to be hard to beat him out if he keeps pitching and hitting like this.
While we're on the topic of Shohei, one of my buddies pointed out to me the other day. So MLB's YouTube, they post videos every day, like recap of the series, homers and whatnot. Shohei Ohtani, when they make videos of him, they blow away the view count compared to the rest of the league.
I'd imagine they do.
Yeah, like he is great for the sport. Fans love him. I mean, I'll even throw out numbers like this. Let's say A's White Sox only gets like 30,000 views for a series recap. Ohtani hits a homer, 500,000 views on that video.
Shit.
People love him, man. He's great for the sport. I think if he keeps this up, MVP all the way.
He is unreal, dude. He's great. He's so fun to watch.
He is. But to wrap, Boston takes the series 2-1. Hopping over to Yankees-Rangers. Yankees take the series 3-1. Gerrit Cole takes the – actually, he took the L in game one.
Yeah.
Lyle got the W. 6 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run. Looked really nice against that hot Yankees lineup.
Cole got rocked.
Yeah, Cole did get rocked. He did. 5 earned runs. Was very surprising to see that. Game two, Yankees take the win 7-4. James Italian looked not terrible, not anything special. Got the job done. Only gave up 4 on 6 hits. Made it through 4 and a third. Game three, hey, man, 6th no-hitter of the year. Kluber got it done. Got 9 Ks on the 9 innings no-hit bid. Only drew 1 walk, was 1 walk shy of the perfect game. Jumping over to game four. Domingo Germán got the W. Only gave up 6 hits in 7 innings. Standouts of the series. Aaron Judge, 4 for 14. Not terrible. DJ LeMahieu, 3 for 14. Nick Solak put 1 out, 3 for 15 on the series. And Adolis Garcia also poked 1 out, 4 for 15. Kluber's no-hitter, though. First Yankee to throw one since 99 and first on the road since 1923.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's almost really 100 years.
That's really cool.
Extremely cool. Jumping over to the Indians and Angels. Cleveland took the series 2-1. Game one, Angels took the W 7-4. Sandoval got the W, 6 hits, 4 innings, and 2 earned runs. That was his 2021 opener. Not too bad. Game two, Plesac got the W, 7 hits, 5 earned runs on 4 Ks. Made it through 7 innings. Game three, Cleveland got the win 3-2 with the W pitching performance by Savali. And he went 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs. Not too bad. Ohtani did unfortunately take a loss there. Only made it through 4 2/3. Did have 5 Ks. Walked a couple guys. Standouts of the series. Josh Naylor poked another ball out. Looking really nice. I've always been a fan of him since he was on the Padres. Jose Ramirez, 3 for 10 with a homer. Ohtani knocked out 2 in the series.
Yep.
I mean, and we were just talking about him.
Dude, he's so good. He is such a good hitter. It's crazy. And the fact, like, that one homer he hit, the ball was at his eyes, and he hit it, like, 450. And
yeah.
And he can throw 100 miles per hour. Like,
what can't the guy do?
Yeah, exactly. He can steal pitches. He can play the field. He's got a good arm. He can pitch. He can hit. I mean, I don't know. He's a freak of nature.
On a disappointing note, Trout did get injured in game one. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah,
hopefully he can bounce back off of that. I know he's been red hot. He hasn't been, but we know what he's capable of.
Sucks. I like the Angels a lot. I want to see them in the playoffs. I want to see Rendon, Ohtani, and Trout make a run in the goddamn playoffs. Somebody give it to me, please.
You said it, man.
Not fair. It's not fair that we don't get to watch Mike Trout in the playoffs because the Angels suck.
It is unfortunate to see. Cleveland won the series 2-1, though. Hopping over to White Sox Twins. This was an interesting one. Game one, White Sox take the win 16-4. We saw Astudillos take the mound, throwing that 40-poo fastball. Mercedes took it to left center. Hey, you know, it is what it is. I think, see, a lot of people were saying how it was kind of disrespectful, unwritten rules. I look at it like this. 3-0 count, high and away. It's going to be ball four, which drags the game on if he takes it. You put it in play. I think the chances go up of getting him out, obviously. And that kind of speeds the game up because that's the whole thing behind it. You're just dragging it on and rubbing it in.
Who cares, though? Like, I'm up here. I get paid to hit baseballs. What am I going to do? Hit a baseball. I don't care if it's 3-0, 1-0, 2-0. Like, what the hell is the difference if it's 3-0 or 2-0? We're talking about one pitch here. Who cares? It's 15-4. And do you know how hard it is to hit a 47-mile-per-hour fucking pitch that far? It's pretty hard. Especially when you've been seeing...
It's BP.
P's even faster than that. And especially when you've been seeing 90 miles per hour all night, 90-plus, and now you're seeing 47. You know how hard it is to hit that out?
Yeah, I think he did the double load on that.
Yeah, well... People need to grow up. Who cares? Joey Wendell, I saw 9-1 yesterday. Tampa Bay's up. Position players on the mound. Joey Wendell hits the tank. He runs around the bases, gets in the dugout, and Kevin Cash gives him a high five, like a manager should, because when you hit a home run, you should get a high five from your manager. Dude, I don't give a shit what the situation is. I just hit a fucking home run, and I'm getting yelled at. I'd be pissed if I was Yermin. That's ridiculous.
Without a doubt. I think it is childish behavior. I mean, it is different times. You know, you've got the older guys that live off the classic rules. And if you broke an unwritten rule back then, you got hell for it. And
that's their problem. They signed.
These new young guys are basically changing the game. And we got to live with it because the sport's going to move on. New people are going to come in and take it over. That's just the natural laws of change, man.
Yeah, that's the Sox problem, dude. They signed a 76-year-old Tony La Russa to manage one of the youngest, most exciting teams in the league. I don't know what the hell they were thinking.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they were thinking, let's keep the team in check. You know, they need someone to take under their wing, or he needs to take them under their wing and show them how to act. But I think when it's all said and done, I have no problem with the 3-0 nuke. I mean, it's already a joke as is with a position player on the mound, you know?
Exactly.
But wrap up the series. White Sox take the win 2-1. Some notables, Grandal went yard, Sano went yard. Ref Snyder was 4-for-5.
Sano went yard three times.
Oh, yeah, Sano went yard three times. I missed the three there. Nick Madrigal, first homer in his big league career. Love to see that. And Bailey Ober made his major league debut.
Yeah, I never heard of him, but shout out.
4 innings, 5 hits, 4 earned runs. Yeah. Not too bad.
I never heard of him, but shout out to him on the first big league debut. That's awesome.
It is awesome. Made it to the show. And like I said, the White Sox took the series 2-1. Hopping over to Tigers, Mariners. Kind of a dud. Detroit took the sweep 3-0. Game one, Detroit took the W 4-1. Casey Mize looked excellent. 7 2/3, 3 hits, 1 earned run with 7 Ks. Spencer Turnbull, game two, got the no-no. Was really surprising. Honestly, would have been the dead last guy I would have thought to do it.
Facts.
What are your thoughts?
It's crazy, dude. That was the fifth of the year, and then we get Kluber's the next day. Excuse me. It's crazy. 6 no-hitters and 7 if you count Mad Bums.
I got some stuff to say about that once we wrap up the AL.
Finish off
the series. Detroit took game 3-6-2. Scooball got the dub. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Scooball. 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs with 9 Ks. Series standouts. Jimer got a homer. Love him. 4 for 14. Harold Castro was 6 for 9 with a double and 3 ribbies. Mariners had 9 total hits in the series. Not looking good, man. 2 of the no-hitters were thrown against them. They got to get their shit together.
Yes, they do. And we had 1 interleague series. I'll do it real quick. It was Brewers and KC at Kauffman Stadium. KC swept them 2-0. And the Brew Crew sent out Woodruff and Burns. They're 2 big ones, and they could not get a win.
Royals are scary, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're sneaky good. I mean, when you throw out Woodruff and Burns in a 2-game set against a team like KC, not that they're like horrible, but you're expecting to get at least one dub there. And KC handled it well. They get 2 wins. Mikey Taylor hit a homer. I love Michael Taylor. Colton Wong was 3 for 8 with a double. Royals young pitching.
More of the Royals pitching that really helped them get the W in the series, because Burns and Woodruff only gave up a total of 3. So they did their job for the most part. I mean, you can't expect perfection every time, as we know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, when you throw your 2 aces, pretty much you're expecting to get a win, but didn't break for them. Brewers are in a little bit of a rut.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
But that wraps up all the series. It was fun. We had a few good ones. Astros and A's, that was fun. A's take it. Or Stros take it, I meant. Mets, Braves, that was a good one. Giants get the sweep. Yankees get the 3-1 win. Kluber with the no-no. Turnbull with the no-no. Fun week, or fun weekend, or midweek, whatever you want to call it.
All right, so we got the whole week broken down. Let's hop into the big topic that I've been looking forward to, the no-hitters. Now, I'll start off by saying no-hitters are a very, very big milestone for any pitcher in their career. You love to see them. Some people don't like pitchers' duels. I think the majority of, we'll say casual to just regular baseball fans, don't enjoy them. I think they're cool to see, especially from guys that you don't expect to throw them. However, I will say the accomplishment of getting a no-hitter is kind of diminished with the fact that they're very common this year.
Yeah, and
the most all-time in a season is 7. So with that being said, you want to count Bumgarner's. We've already tied that. Personally, I'm not going to count it just because, you know, it's got to be 9 innings. It's got to be 9 innings. But
and,
I
yeah,
will say this.
There's already 6, so.
Yeah, so it's going to happen. The record's going to be broken. We'll say this, though. A little quote from Clayton Kershaw. They were talking to him. The media was talking to him about what he thinks on the whole increase in no-hitters this year. He says, in quotes, "Well, it's not good. I'll tell you that. I think whatever the intention was with the new ball or whatever it may be, it really hasn't done anything. There might be less home runs, which I guess they want, but I don't know the stats on all that. But I do know that strikeouts are the same. I think I saw some stats for April that it was the worst hitting month in the history of something," which I will say, 237, I think, was the exact average as the for the whole league to this day. So all-time low, not looking good. Back to Kershaw. No hitters are cool. I have all the respect in the world for Corey Kluber and Mad Bum and all those guys that have thrown no hitters. But to have one every night, it seems like it's probably not good for the game. Fans want to see some hits. Of course we do. Get that in some action and not many people striking out. I appreciate the attempt that MLB has tried to do, but I think it seems like they missed the mark so far. We'll see. I don't know why. Or I don't know.
And that's what Kershaw said?
Yes. Now, I will throw some stats out here. The league is hitting 236, so I was 0.1 off. 236, which would be the lowest batting average in history. The league hit 237 in 1968, the year before MLB lowered the mound.
Huh. Oh. Well, they've been talking about pushing the mound back or moving it forward, I think, or whatever.
What do you mean, like closer to the plate?
I think so. I think that's what they said. Or maybe they said farther back. I don't remember, but I remember hearing something about that. I don't know why you got to change it. Like, it's going to fuck up all the pitchers.
I don't like the whole change in the ball thing, though, dude. I really don't.
Like, why do you change the ball at all? Just use the same fucking balls. Like, just use a baseball.
Right. And the thing here is MLB is a business. It's a business. They got to put asses in the seats. They got to be marketable. And I'm sorry. I love pitchers and I love pitching accomplishments and milestones, but it's just the fans don't like it, man. There's just something about it that turns fans away and comes off as boring. And yeah. Changing the ball. I mean, you're seeing what's happening, man. Guys are throwing no-hitters every week.
Yeah, it's getting a little out of hand. It's really cool to see, but 6 in May, that's a lot.
Damn right it is.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see another one all year, though. So, you never know.
I think you'll see an Aaron Nola no-hitter before you know it.
I think you'll see a no-hitter from every pitcher in the Nats staff before you know it.
Even Fetty?
Yep, Fetty Wap, the no-no. Well, speaking of the Nats, Strasburg, he's back from injury tonight. He hasn't pitched in a while, I think, since like the beginning of April. So that's fun for any Nats fan.
I'll be tuning into that.
Yeah, even just for baseball fans. Strasburg is one of the best in the game when he's at his best, so that's fun. One guy I wanted to talk about that's having a really weird season is Yasmani Grandal. Dude, this weekend, for one, he went like 1-for-3 with a homer and 6 walks. And he has he's hitting .139. .139, but he's got a .397 on base percentage.
And like, so he's drawing the walk a lot. No one's pitching.
He's got 35 walks and 28 strikeouts, and he's got like a 115 or 118 WRC plus or something, but he's hitting .139. I think that's just
why batting average is deceiving. And I know we were talking about that within the last couple weeks, how it is deceiving. And what did you say the on base percentage was?
.397.
I mean, there you have it. Batting average means basically nothing with him when he's getting on just about every other at bat.
It hits as good as a walk, and he's still getting on 40% of the time he's coming up to the plate, whether that's with a hit or a walk, who cares? And yeah, obviously you'd like to see that average up a bit, but that just shows you. I still love looking at batting average, and it's a great stat to look at, but that just shows you how much it could be deceiving. And with guys like Grandal and the Harper, and Harper hits .250, and people say he sucks, but he's got a .420 on base percentage. So
correction, he's batting .300.
I was talking about past years, buddy.
Let's talk about the current day, buddy. 300.
Actually, I think he's under 300 now.
All right, now he is. He's like 295, I want to say.
I think it's 290, 294. Yikes.
What, yeah, yikes that. Okay, let's yikes that.
Turner hitting 327. Turner hitting 327.
And your team still can't capitalize.
And if you lose today, you're going to be 500. Under 500.
We already are.
Under 500. Amen.
Well, you know what? It doesn't even matter. We're still in the race because the rest of the division is shit, including us.
Including everybody. Well, speaking of divisions, the AL East is hot, and Tampa Bay has won 7 straight. They are now a game behind Boston, and I think the Yanks are like a game and a half or 2 games out, and Toronto's right there. That division's going to be fun.
Yes, it is.
And the Giants pitching, I wanted to give them a quick shout out. Kevin Gausman, Anthony Disclafani, Alex Wood, Johnny Cueto, and Logan Webb. They have been incredible.
Yeah, they have been. I liked what I saw from Cueto yesterday. He looked really nice.
Yeah, they've all looked good so far. And that's about all I have for this week, honestly. I got – what else did – oh, yeah, Trey Mancini. I think we already talked about him a bit. Love to see him doing good coming back from the cancer. Houston takes over the lead in the West. You got anything else? I'm tapped.
Other than power rankings, I think we're good.
Oh, yeah. Let's do our power rankings real quick. All right. Go ahead and start it off.
So, still got the Bo Sox sitting at number 1. Giants, Dodgers, Padres, White Sox, Cardinals, Astros, A's, Mets, and last place, I'm still sitting with the Indians. I'm liking them.
Indians, all right. Well, I think you forgot one team.
Oh, did I only name 9?
No, you did name 10, but I'm saying I think you overlooked the team because there's no way you don't got the Rays in your top 10 right now.
I actually have them at number 11.
What? 7 straight.
I know. I'm liking what I see from them, but I want to see some more consistency because, you know, just like you said with the Phils, we'll win 7 straight and lose 6 straight. And I want to see if they lose one, I want to see them win another 3 or 4 in a row. And then I will have them jump into the top 10 for sure.
All right. Well, my top 10, I got the Giants 1. I got the Pods 2. Red Sox 3. Rays 4, Dodgers 5, Astros 6, White Sox 7, A's 8, Yankees 9, and Blue Jays 10.
Ooh, I like that. I like the Blue Jays at 10.
They've been showing up. I like it. I think if they can pick up another starter at the deadline, they're going to be really good.
I agree.
Well, pitching performance of the week, we really don't have to talk much about that. It's Corey Kluber. 2 no-nos. So it wasn't really hard to decide, though. Kluber looked a lot better in his. And, yeah, that's all I got. We did power rankings, went over all the series, AL, NL, and interleague. Pitching performance, La Russa went over that whole debacle. Steven Strasburg is coming back tonight. Tampa Bay's hot. Giants are hot. Dodgers and Padres are coming at their throats. It's getting exciting. We're a week away from June 1st, where I'm really going to start getting into it. So
we're officially a quarter of the way through the season.
We're getting up to being a third through the season.
Yes, we are.
So
awesome.
Yes,
you know, honestly, one more thing to touch up on. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing more no hitters. I want to see how many we can get this year.
Yeah, imagine there's like 12 or something, 13.
It'd be crazy.
Or imagine somebody threw 2, same person.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
I don't know the last time that happened, but I know Scherzer did it in 2015.
He had two no-hitters?
Yeah, he threw one against the Pirates and one against the Mets, two playoff teams that year.
Wow. So, yeah, he is a future Hall of Famer.
For sure. Well, I got nothing else. It has been fun, unless you got something else to keep it going.
Nah, let's just hope the Phils can fucking learn to hit a baseball this week.
Let's hope the Nats can learn to hit a baseball. How about?
You guys are fine, dude. That was just a better team. You got your. I'm not opposed to your bats. I think Schwarber and Bell are looking like great pickups, in my opinion. You just need to gel as a whole. And back to the Phils. I mean, we're flat, dude. We're flat. There's no other way about it. I mean, going into the series, I knew the Marlins were going to be a threat. I don't know how many times I told you I'm scared of the fish, and it's based on prior years. They get the better of us. But we'll see what we can do against the Bo Sox. I mean, most would say it's an absolute sweep. It's three-game series, right?
Three-game series, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, before we wrap it up, I did want to talk about series that I'm looking forward to. We're going to be doing – we'll be talking about these series on Monday's episode. So I'm going to talk about four series here. One of them is Red Sox-Phils. Another one, Sox, White Sox-Yankees in New York. That's going to be exciting. Me watching that for sure. Rays in Dunedin. That's going to be fun. And the Dodgers and San Fran playing the Giants. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, those are big series to look for, guys.
Yeah, and
I appreciate you putting the Phils in there, though. I do appreciate that.
I got you. Games to click for these series. I got the Phils Red Sox Game 3, E-Rod versus Zach Wheeler. That's going to be a good one. Sox Yankees Game 2, Dylan Cease versus Garrett Cole. Rays Blue Jays Game 3, Hyunjin Ryu, and the Rays actually haven't announced their starter yet, but I'm still going to go out and say it's going to be the best game. And Dodgers Giants Game 1 tonight, Trevor Bauer versus Alex Wood. That's going to be awesome.
Should be fireworks, boys.
Yep, but yeah, I just wanted to do that real quick, and now I am done.
All right, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in. We'll look forward to seeing you all in the next one, Mondays. And like we stated earlier in the video, we're going to be doing Fridays now. Look for that. Maybe the occasional toss-up throughout the week where we throw out a nice video for you guys. We're going to look to get some more interviews. And other than that, enjoy your weekend. Go out, do some fun stuff. And we'll see you all in the next one.
Later, guys. Have a good week, everybody.
And before you click off, check out our sponsored segment, Anchor.
Yep, just check it out. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Anchor before you go and why it's the best way to make a podcast.
That will conclude this week's episode of Playing the Numbers Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Your feedback is very important to us, so leave a review and tell us your thoughts. Check back every Monday for a new weekly recap episode and hear what went on around the league.